Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell. We are Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Glad to have you listening on a Wednesday hump day. If you're just joining us, you've already missed Andrew Jones, who stopped by to talk about the Hall of Fame selections. Larry Walker and Derek Jeter, he played against both of these guys. And then we asked Andrew Jones about his own selection, and he said, listen, I'd be lying to you if I said it wouldn't mean something to me to be able to get into the Hall of Fame. I don't know if it will happen. He's on the ballot for at least one more year, but the lack of support over the last couple of years, it's grown, you know, but not significantly. But you look at the time that Larry Walker was on the ballot, Mike, and he went from basically, a 10%, 15% chance all the way up to a 50% chance here just a couple of years ago. And now he's got the 75% and he's in. So, you know, I don't know about Andrew Jones. If you ask me as a Braves fan and a guy that followed the Braves, and I was not here during his entire playing career, but I covered baseball during that time, he was amazing. Andrew Jones was the best outfielder at his position, as we talk about, for over a decade. And, you know, when you talk about his significance to his team, I don't think there's any question. As you mentioned, Braves fans believe he should be in.
But as I said, you know, I mean, the magic number used to be the average, you know. And unfortunately, you know, I mean, and, you know, 400 home runs for Dale. If Murph could have gotten just a few more there. We always talk about, I don't know if it carries the same weight. As one generation of baseball writers dies off and another generation comes in. And if analytics come into play and guys who really do look at the, you know, I mean, wins above replacement and consider how good these guys were compared. Now, again, you could look at a guy like Larry Walker. We talked about it last night. He had 5 or 6 years where he's money, you know. But then again, he also had the advantage of playing in a ballpark where, let's be honest, there's a giant asterisk attached to the Rockies. His production was 70 points better as far as his average at home versus his average on the road during those years. And, you know, I look, the guy was a slick fielding third baseman. I heard John Chuckery talking about him last night. He was a great player. But, I mean, you know, he was a great player for 6 years. He also played more years than that. Andrew, for, like, again, 7 or 8 years was money. You almost hope that you wish that Andrew would, like, shut it off at 30 because then the average would have stayed up and he would have been, like, you know, 270, 275. And you say, well, wow, 275 hitter, over 400 home runs, best fielding center fielder for a decade.
Easier.
You know, so I don't know. Maybe, just maybe. You know, I hate the idea that he's got to wait till he's got gray hair and he's got to go in there at Cooperstown when he's in his 70s with the Veterans Committee or something. But they have moved the target, and you have to agree the bar is lower now, probably as low as it's ever been.
Yeah.
And Harold Baines is a really good player. Do you consider that was one that really was an eye opener for me? Good guy, played forever, but still Hall of Famer? I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's tough because again, how I view Hall of Famers and how you view them. When you start getting outside the numbers, because it's the intangibles that we're really talking about, right? I mean, if the numbers are equal, if you say, all right, a guy's got to have this, 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 and this, and you go, okay, he's got all of that, then why is this guy in and this guy's not? Then it gets down to, well, here's what I believe. And now you're talking about the intangibles that matter to me, and they may not be the same for you. And that's where you have this disparity, Mike, with voting and like, well, I didn't see it that way. Well, what are you looking at? If it's just about this, 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 and this, put him in.
I mean, the New York writers, we always talk about if you play, like if a Jeff Van Note plays in, or a Tommy Nobis plays in New York for the Jets or Giants, he's in the Hall of Fame. He gets a gold jacket. Well, what's the story on Don Mattingly? Did Don Mattingly piss off every New York writer? Because if you want to now say the Hall of Really Good and Larry Walker's in, you know, Don Mattingly had like a Larry Walker run. He had 5 amazing years.
Yep.
Okay, then it's amazing. And I guess Donnie Baseball gets in at some point. If you're going to apply the same law of averages. Now, real quick, just to wrap up, because I had a bunch of guys that are baseball nerds come at me over Gil Hodges.
Nerds!
Gil Hodges was my dad's favorite player. And Gil Hodges was a 300 hitter in an era. He had lost 2 years to World War II. And he was like the linchpin at first base for the Dodgers all through the 50s, those great runs. And my only logic there is if a guy like Phil Rizzuto gets in, then a guy like Gil Hodges can get in. I understand that maybe it doesn't match all the metrics of some of the other guys.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, that's a guy that was on a classic team in a classic decade. And if Phil Rizzuto gets in, then Gil Hodges should get
in.
Well,
I'll give you this example, too. It's Dukes and Bell. We'll talk some dogs here coming up. Alex Anthopoulos on the way in less than 35 minutes. So stay right there as we'll get the latest with our Braves. But I used to talk to guys all the time about this, Mike, and this is why guys played so long. You know the one thing that guys were shooting for that they knew they'd get into the Hall of Fame? 3,000 hits.
Benchmark.
Every guy I'd ever talked to that was at the 10-year, 12-year mark, and you go, how long are you going to play, man? And they go, how many hits I got?
Right.
Because they were aware that if they got close, that was the number you couldn't deny. I don't care what baseball writer you were around the country, 3,000 hits was the thing. And you didn't even have to have the other numbers and comparables to certain things. Now, I got to tell you, that's what I used to say. 500 home runs for the power hitters, 3,000 hits, you're in. It's not necessarily the case, is it? If right. you get those things, you're first ballot.
Right.
But if you don't and you have other things that people question, you're not going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. You may be on this ballot for 10 years.
Right. So that's one of my things. And I've cornered old baseball writers over the years. Years ago at the Super Bowl, who did I run into? It was Bob Ryan. It was at Fort Myers at spring training one year, and I was we were drinking shots with Bob Ryan at Shooters on the river. Like, why is Gil Hodges not in? He's like, leave me alone. But anyway, it's just one of those things that goes back to my dad and my love of the old Brooklyn Dodgers. So again, thanks for indulging me in that little historic lesson. Anyway, 8-time All-Star, 3-time World Series champion, including one as a manager, and over 370 home runs.
There's an argument, man. And again, during that era, 370?
Right. Yeah. And by the way,
that's quite a bit.
And he also made the world safe for democracy. Fought in World War II. Like Teddy Ballgame. Like Ted Williams had a fight in two wars.
Two wars, yeah. It is amazing. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. By the way, we will talk, as I mentioned, with Alex Anthopoulos. If you're just joining us, Braves signed Marcel Ozuna. He is a outfielder, 1 year, $18 million deal. We'll find out more from Alex coming up. Right now, let's talk dogs.
On the sidelines with the dogs.
Hey, we played the, if you hadn't heard of the Brock Vandegrift interview, and we got a little snippet we'll play for you of why he decommitted from Oklahoma to Georgia. But great job by the morning show to hear a really mature, super composed junior. Think about where you were at age 16 to be 17. Really impressive stuff earlier today.
No doubt. And that's the first time I've heard from the young man. I've seen footage of him at camps. I got to be honest with you. Everybody's got a highlight tape now, okay? So the footage, when you see a guy and you go, whoa, did you see him throw that out route? Yes, I saw it with no coverage and no pressure in his face. I like what I heard, though, Mike. And let's go from one quarterback to another. Before we talk about Brock, let's talk about Jake Fromm. A lot of mock drafts are starting to come out, and we haven't even gotten to the combine yet. Jake decides to go to the NFL. Mike, right now, these are the guys that are listed in front of Jake. Now, you know, if a team falls in love with him, they may draft him earlier, mm-hmm. and he may be off the board a lot sooner. But right now, Joe Burrow is the first quarterback off the board. Agree?
Yeah, totally. I mean, there's no way, no how the Bengals don't take him. And then it becomes just a matter of what your doctors say versus what other teams' doctors say about Tua Tagovailoa. The Dolphins, and it was an article in the Herald, our buddy, Armando Salguero, was writing that the Dolphins are of the opinion if you draft him, he's not playing for you. He might play late in the season at some point, but you're not going to play a full season next year with Tua Tagovailoa.
I agree with that. So Tua is the second quarterback to come off the board. Follow me here. Then Justin Herbert from Oregon, okay? It's not about where they end up. There's projections, but again, this could change with drafts as far as trades and teams moving up and down. But we're just talking about how they're ranked. Then Jordan Love from Utah State, Mike. And then Jacob Eason from Washington. And then Jalen Hurts from Oklahoma. Are you missing a name here? Am I missing somebody? Right. And then Jake Fromm. I don't know if this is how it's going to play out, but if that's the case, Mike, Fromm, you're talking about round 2 to 4 potentially for Jake Fromm if it plays out this way. Now, again, it may be Burrow, Tagovailoa, and the teams that are all looking at Herbert and Love and Eason are also looking at Fromm and go, you know what? He has something that we like over these other guys and we take him. But right now, those are the guys just in an order perspective.
Right.
Burrow, Tagovailoa, Herbert, Love, Eason, Hurts, Fromm.
Because a lot of guys, again, maybe not a Georgia fan or the detractors say he's a glorified Aaron Murray. Well, Aaron Murray was a great college quarterback. And then there's guys like A.J. McCarron. Look, as long as you can get a couple of years in the NFL, get the pension, make the millions, that's what we're shooting for. I think Jake's got higher goals and aspirations than that. He wants to be a starter. I mean, it's strange, and we will debate with this, not the lost season, because you still won an SEC East, you played in the championship game, but the disconnect with the wide receivers, the play calling, and now obviously next year is going to be a completely different offense, going to be wide open, and see how that goes. But I thought Jake was better as a, you know, as a sophomore.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll be quite, and look, he'll be asked those questions in the 15 minutes he gets with each team. But I think there'll be some teams which see the leadership, see the fact that he can make almost all the throws, you know, and there'll be a spot for him. I just don't think it's in the first round. I agree with you.
All right. We'll see. And by the way, that list can change. We said it.
And the comp, again, the combine, yes. Some guys are going to do are going to knock it out of the park. Some guys' pro days are going to dazzle. But, you know, there'll be some quarterback you hadn't heard of. Remember we talked about Drew Lock. Drew Lock didn't have any big memorable moments in the SEC. A couple of big long touchdown passes. Whoop. And then looks like maybe, just maybe, he can get some traction with Denver. Elway's high on him. But, again, having John Elway in your corner doesn't actually guarantee any success in Denver in the quarterback business.
All right, from one quarterback to a future quarterback. And let's hear from Brock Vandagriff. He is the young man that has committed now to the Dogs. He was asked this morning on our morning show with John Freakin' Hugh Douglas, why did you flip?
The main thing was just wanting to stay closer to home because I have a really big family and just I love them being at my games and stuff. I like the new offense coordinator, Coach Monken, a lot, and I believe that Coach Smart has the program moving in the right direction, and I wanted to be a part of it.
So that is the young man that, not this season, obviously, but next season, Mike, he'll be on campus, and we'll see, you know, what he's going to do. He's a five-star already rated. Mm-hmm. He's going to be at all the camps. He talks about it in the interview. The interview's online at 929thegame.com. Here's the other thing he did, was asked about and answered. Todd Monken is the new offensive coordinator for the Dogs. Here's what he said about him.
What do you make of Todd Monken? You know, there's a lot of talk, Brock, about Georgia's offense this year. You're a Georgia fan. I assume you're a Georgia fan for life, correct?
Yes, sir, for sure, for now.
Yeah, and so, you know, I look at Todd Monken and what he brings in. What are you expecting from Todd Monken in the future this year and then going forward when you get to Athens?
Well, I met with him on Monday, and he was talking about how to be successful in the SEC, you're going to have to run the ball, so they're not going to get away from that. And I agree with that because in the end, I want to win games. But also, he said that we're going to open up the offense a little bit more, throw some more, and do some more RPO stuff and be able to cater to the players' needs because – the quarterback this year, and I believe myself and some of the other quarterbacks there are be able to be successful when they're on the run, and that's a little bit harder to defend than someone that's just standing back there and controlling the game, I believe.
Impressive.
There you go. As we said, that's think of you as a junior in high school.
Impressive.
Now, some of us are more mature than others or less mature, but it's really exciting for Georgia. And again, the recruiting class is right up there. Now, it may finish ahead of Alabama, but you're still in the top three. So the idea being that you reload, not retool, and now you've also got a quarterback that can step up in the interim with Monken, and just a matter of how quickly Jamie Newman can grasp what they want him to do. But imagine if you're going to be at a spring football game, if you go to G-Day, and I think we're going to see an uptick on attendance on this one, because you're going to look nothing like Georgia's looked at, like, well, ever. I mean, it's one thing when you had guys like Stafford, that's pro style, Eric Zier, pro style. But now you're going to be looking, other than when Shockley finally got a chance to get in there in the 2000s, not like this. Yeah.
We thought when Fields was going to be there that this is what we might be looking at.
This would have been, imagine Todd Monken with Fields?
Yeah, yeah. But,
well, it's not because it ain't happening.
All right, it's Dukes and Bell. That is our dog report. It is brought to you by our friends at Brightbox.
Brightbox, guys, brightboxelectrical.com. You can, again, go to the website and see what these guys do. They do amazing stuff. And book your appointment today. Still time to get your man cave set up for the big game a week from Sunday.
All right, let's give you a chance to win $1,000 playing our national signing bonus contest.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Ocean! Which Oceans did you like, the movies? Ocean 11, Ocean 8, which one did you like?
Nobody liked Ocean's 12, okay. But Ocean's 11 and 13 were okay in my book.
Text Ocean to 72881, that's 72881 for your chance to win $1,000 playing our national signing bonus contest. Remember, guys, you have until 4:59 to text the word Ocean. Message and data rates do apply.
Hey, man, Billy Ocean's birthday yesterday. Ocean goes to 72881. We're going to talk to Alex Anthopoulos, guys, coming up here in less than 30 minutes.
Caribbean Queen, right? That was the song?
Yeah, we were joking around yesterday with Get Out of My Dreams, Get Into My Car. It doesn't really play in the Me Too era, Carl, no, to be no. quite said. Hey, you, get out of my dreams, get into my car. Now, that would be considered assault these days.
Hey, what did Thomas Dimitroff have to say about Vic Beasley? You'll hear it next. Hey, join us on Friday. We're going to be at Kennesaw, Twin Peaks. Come on through, man, and we'd love to get a chance to see you and hang out, and we'll do the show live out there 2-7. That is on Friday, guys. And a quick reminder, join the Hawks as they take on the Washington Wizards this Sunday at State Farm Arena. Tips off at 6 o'clock. So get your tickets today at hawks.com/tickets for the Atlanta Hawks. Coming up, Alex Anthopoulos is literally less than 10 minutes away or so, and we're going to talk to the general manager of our Atlanta Braves about all the things that have been going on. It's been a busy offseason. It really has. I mean, when you look back at the Braves and from the time that the disastrous game happened against the Cards to where we are now with spring training just a few weeks away, you go, okay, they have done a lot. My question is, have they done the right things? And that is still yet to be determined as far as the players that have been added to this roster and the money that they've spent so far. All right, Alex Anthopoulos is on the way. Thomas Dimitroff and our Falcon staff, they are down at the Senior Bowl. Now, we're going to get more into this as part of our Falcon report as we'll hear about Austin Hooper, and we'll get you an update on his potential negotiations. But I do want you to hear Thomas Dimitroff talk about Vic Beasley because, Mike, there are three guys, and I'm looking at this right now, that you have to make a decision on. And people are like, oh, these are hard decisions. I don't think they're hard. I don't think these are hard decisions at all. We're talking about DeVondre Campbell. We're talking about Vic Beasley. And we're talking about Austin Hooper. Those are your three decisions as to pay or not to pay this next season.
And we know that DeVondre does some great work in coverage. I know that sometimes some of the work he does goes unsung. I know we debated Vic all season long. You know, I mean, tax is not related because he's already under contract, but also the idea of picking up the fifth year on tax, that can be determined at some point. But, yeah, man, DeVondre and Hoop. It's the same thing we talked about with Gressel. You know, it's a different sport, but it's both owned by Arthur Blank. When you have a guy that you draft, develop, becomes a star, you want to hold on to him. Now, if you feel you can just go find another big-time tight end, okay. There are a lot of great tight ends, certainly in this class. And we'll talk more about that as we get closer to the draft. But still, you got, you know, there's the unknown and here's the known. You got a guy going rates with just a tick under $50 million. You know, are you going to be able to afford that? Or do you say, you know, I've got to earmark some free agent money for helping with the offensive line. I might not do that via the draft. Or I am going to commit draft to defensive line and offensive line. So there's a lot of questions, bro. One thing we know is we don't have a lot of wiggle room. Some wiggle room will be created, though, if you do get Devontae Freeman to redo his contract. There's some Falcons fans don't want him back at all. You know, some guys are like, I've seen enough. But you'd reach out to his agent and say, look, do we want to try to make this work? Or does he think, because I don't know what would the market be for Freeze, coming off his worst season as a pro.
I don't know if there is. I mean, this is gets back to the trade deadline. Remember we talked about the trade and, you know, why don't they just trade him? Well, you got to have some value. It was like Vic Beasley during the losing streak. There was no value. The Falcons attempted to move him. He was out there.
Right. And again,
there were no takers.
You've got to take on the contract. You guys know how that goes. Detroit, you know, they got close, or maybe they didn't get close, but that's the team that was apparently in the mix. But it never happened. So, look, Free just seems to me so far removed from the 1,000-yard season, all the touchdowns, being an integral part of the offense, you know, not having a ball on the ground in the end zone this year. You know, it's just that those are all facts. And whether you want to chalk that up to the offensive line was just so banged up and inconsistent and our run game was non-existent, I don't know. I do know this. I ain't going to pay Free what he got last year if I'm the GM. I mean, you got to move on.
Let's hear from Thomas Dimitroff on Vic Beasley.
We're not exactly sure the direction we're going to go with it. And, you know, I thought Vic had a nice push down the stretch, and I know that he had impressed a lot of people, you know, within the organization because, you know, of course it was tough early on. And so we have not made a decision on that at this point.
All right. Now, Thomas makes a valid point. And for me, it's not just about this season. It's easy to say that everybody had a push at the end of this season. The bigger question for this organization and Falcon fans is now you've seen him for 5 years, right? We had him for five seasons, Mike. What is he? Is he a rotational pass rusher? Is he a guy that is an every down guy? Is he a guy that you can say, all right, if we sign him, we know we can expect 7 to 10 sacks every season moving forward because there were three seasons where that didn't happen.
Right.
So I really believe that what Thomas Dimitroff says is true, that they probably have not made a decision, and if they have, they're not going to play their hand right now. But more importantly, it's not about the end of the season. As a fan, do not get caught up in that. Do not get caught up in how we finished the season and went, you know, 4-2 over the last six games and all of that stuff. This is about the totality of what he's done since he's been here. My one question to Falcon fans would be simple. Is he a difference maker? If he's not, move on.
Well, I mean, if you want to go strictly by sacks, you know, and this is the old, we always debate that, you know, Mike Smithy would say, you know, sacks are overrated. And then, you know, the point he was making, and we used to have so much fun with it because we just, you know, when you can't do something, you say it's not important, right? But you can get pressure on the quarterback. You can move him off the spot. There's other ways. Doesn't necessarily have to translate to the guys on the ground. If you can get him to throw a pick, get him to cough it up, okay, change, you know, make them throw it out of bounds. But let's be real here. When it comes to the Falcons, we just don't really get in that business consistently of having two, certainly not two edge rushers that can get the job done. To your point, the only way Vic was ever going to get that number last year was hand in the ground, coming off the edge. Dropping him back in coverage was a waste of time, and you saw it. You know, I know other guys do it, teams do it, that's part of the defensive scheme, Carl, but if you're going to do more of that, what's the point? And if he is going to be a situational guy, what does that cost? Certainly not nothing close to what he made this last year.
Not at all. We're going to talk more about this in the Falcon Report and who are the strongest groups. What I mean by that is linebackers, running backs, offensive linemen at the Senior Bowl. We're going to fill you in on that. It's Dukes and Bell. Alex Anthopoulos is on the way. Stay right there, guys. We're going to ask our general manager all things Braves related next. Coming up in just a few minutes, Alex Anthopoulos, Braves general manager, set to join us here on the program. Falcon Report's on the way, and we got our strong arm story of the day in the 5 o'clock hour. Hey, man, if you're just joining us tomorrow, Mike, check that. Friday, I'm a day ahead. This holiday's got me jacked up. Mm-hmm. Friday, we are at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw.
All right, always a lot of fun. Always appreciate seeing our usual suspects like Alabama Al and Jay and everyone else. So come on down. And again, we always suggest to fathers, bring your kids. It's always a great environment.
I'm sorry?
Well, I mean, my dad would bring me if I was a kid.
There's always that guy, too, that brings his kid. We always say that, and there's a guy that brings his kid.
We're always like, let's give it up for Father of the Year. But anyway, we'll be at Twin Peaks right there off Barrett Parkway, guys. Get off 75, get out of the traffic. Ice cold Hey Man Ale. And don't forget to look for our beer throughout the weekend, guys. We always appreciate you taking snapshots of it on social media.
All right. As we await Alex, who's going to join us, you know, the thing is, we're trying to get that bad taste out of our mouths, how the season ended last year. The way you do that, obviously, is to get back to the playoffs, Mike. Get back to the postseason. Mm-hmm. We're back-to-back NL East champs. We could do that again. But, you know, have we put ourselves in position to be there? And really, that's the job of the guy that's going to join us here in a few minutes, because going into the offseason, there were certain needs and certain things that needed to be addressed. And I think that they've done a really good job of that. The problem is we won't know until we get to production on the field. And I want to go back. Remember Josh Donaldson, and we signed him 1 year, $23 million.
Right.
The whole injury history came to play, and everybody was like, well, what's this going to be? And then as the season played out, obviously Donaldson, you know, has a career year, one of the career years, that sets him up for this huge contract that he ends up getting and taking with the Twins. But the point is, before the season, I don't know if anybody thought we'd get what we got from Josh Donaldson. So let's not jump the gun on Marcell Ozuna and think that this might be a similar situation, Mike. 1 year, $18 million.
Now, again, he missed some games, but the guy also had comparable production. If you go look, and we've obviously, you know, we know what Josh did. Carl just laid it out. He's about 18 points below Josh last year, but he's also 30 points off his regular career average. His career average is .272. If you remember in the NLDS, we talked about it earlier, Ozuna was clutch, had a couple of big home runs. So there's a dude that was you remember him as a Marlin as well. He's relatively young, and if he does really well, and I saw one guy on Twitter, well, what if he does really well and leaves us too? Well, okay, that's fine. And then we got Christian Pache and Waters ready to go. That's supposed to be the outfield of the future anyway. You know, Pache would be center, Acuna would then go to left, and there will be the piece. So this guy comes in, balls out, gives you production. Hopefully, now again, I'm starting to sound like, you know, fingers crossed, Austin Riley.
I see a lot of fingers crossed.
Camargo was down for him from his career average last year as well. He struggled at times mightily. But Austin Riley, the first things first is if he can come in and, you know, now do his job. Because the knock, and Alex will ask him, because Alex did talk about this in the winter meetings, that when he comes up to the next level, as he did from AA to AAA, there's an initial struggle, and then he figures it out. Major League Baseball, a little bit different. You know, he looked great, and then he started, swinging at everything. Couldn't lay off the high stuff.
The thing about, you brought Nick Markakis up, and we're going to talk to Alex here in a sec, but they got to rest him. He's got to get periodic rest throughout the course of the season. You can't wait to the end of the season to do it. He's got to be rested, Mike, and that's the way you get the best production out of a guy at his age. I think Markakis still has a lot left in the tank. But
well, he picked it up. That's the thing. When he comes off the injury, there was no fall off. Markakis doing great, and unfortunately, everybody just got cold 3-4-5 right in the middle of the NLDS.
Here he is, AA, Alex Anthopoulos. And Alex, thanks. I know it's been a busy time for you. We always appreciate you jumping on Dukes and Bell. We want to start, obviously, with the news that came down last night. Marcell Ozuna, 1 year, $18 million. What made you do this deal, and how much more better is this lineup, do you believe, with Ozuna?
Well, I mean, no doubt Ozuna is a significant add for us. At the start of the offseason, getting into free agency. We had identified him as what we felt was one of the more underrated players in free agency just because of, you know, his stat line last year was good, not great. Our underlying internal data and numbers on him were significantly stronger than that. And we thought he had a lot more in there, and it just, from his batted ball components and just some bad luck. So we think we've got a chance. If you look at that last year he had with Miami, 2017, obviously it was the best year that he had. We think he's got the ability to get back there, at least close to it. So we're certainly excited about it. Our priority was obviously trying to bring Josh Donaldson back. Once that wasn't going to happen, Ozuna was still out on the market, and we had stayed in contact with him throughout the winter, and we were glad he was still there to be able to get a deal done with us.
It is the Braves general manager, Alex Anthopoulos, with us here, and we were just doing the numbers on Ozuna before you came on. Again, he was off last year for some reason, but the guy still rakes, and Braves fans saw how clutch he was in the NLDS. So I think that's more than anything else. You're looking for a guy that can get it done when it matters most.
Yeah, he was someone that going into the DS, we identified just, you know, I was looking through the roster, the Cardinals, and looking at the stat lines, but then looking at some of our internal stats on guys, and Ozuna jumped off the page, and I was surprised that the numbers weren't that good during the season, but all the indicators were that he was ready to explode, and, you know, the bad luck for us and bad fortune was he happened to do it in the DS. So we handled six of their eight guys really well. Goldschmidt and Ozuna killed us in the series. We had leads in the eighth inning in the first four games, and we just couldn't get it done. So still a tough pill to swallow. Would have loved to have seen what could have happened. A Nats, Braves, NLCS, the way we had played the Nats at the end of the year. But we do have big expectations for Ozuna. We're excited about him. And we think, you know, he's got significant ceiling to what he did the last 2 years.
Alex, I think you've done a really good job. We've already signed, I think, four of the top 30 free agents that were available this offseason. That's Will Smith, that's Cole Hamels, Travis d'Arnaud, Chris Martin. But with that said, we were not in the room. But I have to ask for our listeners, were we late to the party with Josh Donaldson? Because in the interviews that he's given, it sounds like we approached him late with an offer, and then obviously the offer wasn't what it should have been or what he thought it should have been. Can you address that?
Sure. No, and I saw the interview that Josh gave, and I thought it was a really sincere, heartfelt interview. I thought it was nice that his first comments were with an Atlanta TV station, and the fans of Atlanta got to hear from him first and foremost. I couldn't comment until his deal was announced by the Twins. Look, in terms of, you know, getting to the party, I thought we got to the party before it even started. We were waiting for everybody to show up. So we were there the whole time. We were talking the whole time. We knew where everything was going. We had definitely talked about where we were at, what kind of deal we were comfortable doing throughout the process, whether that was early in the off season, at the winter meetings, over the holidays, even coming into January. Tons of conversations, hours on the phone. Even before his deal got finalized with the Twins, I communicated a little bit with Josh as well.
Alex, so, real quick, so you knew the number. You guys knew what the number was going to be.
Yes, okay. Correct. And we had every opportunity to go there to try to get it done. And look, tough call because he's a great player. He makes our team a lot better. He makes every team a lot better. Tough decision to make, but we ultimately decided, you know, to not get to that level on a contract. And we just, you know, from our standpoint, and you know, we're trying to do the best we can to put a team on the field. And again, he's one of the best players in the game, but we have to be mindful of putting the best team on the field that we can with the resources that we have and everything else. And we made what we felt was a very strong offer from our standpoint, but there's no doubt the Twins' offer was north of where we were.
Right.
And I don't blame him. For a minute, he deserves the contract he got. He earned it. I think there's a reason it was, you know, someone pointed out was the second highest contract for a player his age. Terms of total guaranteed dollars, and if it's going to happen to somebody, it should be someone like Josh Donaldson, who's been the best player in the game. So we had every opportunity to get there, and we just were not comfortable going to those dollars. And we'll obviously find out over time if it was the right decision for the ball club, but mm-hmm. You know, it's a decision that I, as the general manager of the club, made that call. So tough call, because I love Josh Donaldson and everything he brought, and his teammates do, and coaches, and the fans do. And I know it was not going to be a top-tier decision, But at the end of the day, I have to do what I feel is right for the short and the long term of the ball club, as hard as it is.
It's Alex Anthopoulos with us, guys, a Braves general manager on the WadeFord.com hotline. And just to wrap it up, it wasn't the term, or it's 6-1, half a dozen the other, because obviously Braves fans feel, hey, let's keep the band together, but you don't want to eat a contract where you anticipate the production dropping down.
Yeah, we didn't. I know there was a lot of talk about years and so on, and we just looked at total dollars. So, from our standpoint, for the most part, you look at these things through total dollars. Yes, at some point, the years obviously do matter and impact, but generally speaking, it's what's the total commitment to the player. You can cut things up any way you want. You can do the math any way you want. For us, it just came down to, what was the total commitment for the ball club? We clearly did not get to $92 million. We got to what we felt was a significant number, a number that when we had discussions internally early in the offseason was less than where we ultimately ended up. So we did stretch from our standpoint in our analysis, but we were still short of the Twins, and I don't blame him. He got a fantastic contract, and I think it was, he needed to take that deal. But not only are they a great ball club, a contending ball club, it's a great place to play and live. So I mentioned this to someone earlier today. When you're an elite, great player, and you're a free agent, you're going to have a lot of options, and rightfully so. He earned it.
It is Alex Anthopoulos, guys, Braves general manager here on Dukes and Bell. First time we've had a chance to visit with the GM. He's been very busy. And I said to Mike, it's been a very busy offseason. I mean, going off over all these deals that you've already done to try to improve our team. Starting pitching, bullpen, and obviously Donaldson, not necessarily in that order, but that's kind of how it played out. I want to ask you about our bullpen because, Alex, I actually think just looking at it, we might have the best bullpen in the National League. Do you agree?
No, I don't know that I would go that far with it just because the games are played on the field, and we've seen over the years there's all kinds of talk about how many wins a team should have, how well someone should play, and so on. So I can say that I think our bullpen has improved. I like the depth in our bullpen. I think we're in a good position. Where it ultimately ends up, we need help. We need good performance. Things don't always go the way you plan, but that's why we tried to be as deep as we could. If we do have any injuries or drops in performance, we have enough guys.
Follow up on that. We had 28 one-run games last year that we won. And part of the issue was the bullpen. That number could have been better. We know we lost a lot of games when we had leads and the bullpen failed us, which made you go out and make those deals. So, when you talk about the flexibility of the bullpen, my issue last year was we didn't have a plan, at least in my opinion, to close games. Do you feel like we do now?
Well, last year, clearly we felt good about the bullpen. Obviously, it didn't work out that way, and we're not going to, at least as a general manager, I'm not going to bat 1,000. I wish I could, but I think ultimately, as long as you get most of the decisions more right than wrong. We liked Minter Vizcaino going into the year. Vizcaino got hurt early. Minter was clearly not the same guy. He got hurt as well in spring training, and we had to basically turn over the entire bullpen. We did address the bullpen at the trade deadline. It was not a good position to be in. I don't want to have to go through that again when we have to fill three back-end arms and have to make trades. And then you look at the playoffs. Like I said, the first four games of a five-game series, we had leads going into the eighth inning. So as much as we talk about, we didn't hit as much as we wanted to or maybe a starting performance, we had a chance to win the games. We were six outs away or less the first four games, and we just couldn't close these games. We couldn't close all four. We got two of those four. So I think that definitely was in our mind when we went out this offseason to try to make some deals.
It is Alex Anthopoulos with us, guys. We were talking earlier, Alex, GM of the Braves, about hopefully that Austin Riley comes in out of Northport and he's raking and he's good to go. A lot of people have talked about Chris Bryant, Arenado. Now, I know that everybody thinks it's like a Strat-O-Matic baseball game, but the teams that have got that kind of talent, are they asking for guys that in your mind are just untouchable?
I can't really get specific to what teams or specific teams are going to ask for. I could speak from a general standpoint. For the most part, anytime we're engaged in trades, if teams are looking for prospects, they're going to ask for our top guys. You're hopeful and you're optimistic that they ask for what you would consider the right guys for you, the guys you're more willing to trade, but most clubs are so well run and GMs do a great job that they ask for the right players and the ones that you really don't want to trade. With some of these other clubs that are contending, that have players available, it's tough because if they're going to take a big league player off their team and they still have designs on winning and getting to the playoffs, you're likely going to have to trade big league players back. So you're ultimately going to create a hole. You can certainly look to the free agent market to backfill some of those areas, or maybe three-way trades and so on. But trades are hard to begin with. And from our standpoint, look, we've been pretty reluctant to trade some of our best young players. We've made everybody available in trade.
Right.
We've never taken a player off the table other than Acuna when I first got here. You know, other than that, I've never told a general manager that someone is untradeable or we won't talk about them. It's just, obviously, depending on what we would get back, we'll have guys that are, you know, guys will cost more in terms of trades.
Alex, every year guys have to take a jump. Who, in your opinion, needs to take that jump for this Braves team this season? Obviously, there's a lot of eyes on Austin Riley, and I think you know this. The fan base right now is skeptical about trusting the fact that Austin Riley will deliver for the entire season based on what we saw last year. Who needs to take a jump?
I mean, look, with respect to third base, there's no doubt. I mean, we had interest in Josh Donaldson because of certainty and how great a player he is and the uncertainty of Riley and Camargo both. So, ideally, you'd like certainly all over the roster. That's unlikely to happen when you're trying to put a team together. You do need some good stories and some guys to pan out. But Camargo, when he was an everyday player in 2018, was a good player. Riley has shown flashes of being a great player. And looking at his career, every time he's had to repeat a level, his second year when he's finally going to repeat it, he does excel. So that said, there's no guarantees, but we're optimistic and hopeful Riley can click during the season. If not, Camargo, we've seen what he can do as an everyday player in 2018. He made some changes to his swing. We're optimistic about him. The fact that our lineup has more depth now, we're not as reliant upon one specific spot. So if we don't have production from one area, if we have an injury and so on, you don't want to build a lineup around one or two guys. You're trying to be as deep as you can, and I do believe we have that. In terms of guys needing to step up and so on, I look at it as more as who do we hope will step up for us. Obviously, we want everybody to play well, but if you'd ask me today, we have so many young arms with promise and with upside, and if we can get one or two of those guys the way Fried and Soroka took a step,
right,
I think our rotation is really going to be a key for us, because I do believe in our offense. I believe in our bullpen. And if we can just have a real solid rotation that can have health, I think we've got a chance to have a great year.
Because Cole Hamels comes in, he had a great start for the Cubbies last year, then tailed off. You think he can give you the innings?
Yeah, we're certainly excited and optimistic about him. Like you said, it was a tale of 2 years for him. The first half, he was great. Hurt his oblique, came back fast. Shoulder was not right. Finally had a bit of a blow in September for 10 days, got his shoulder right. Came back and pitched a fantastic game against the Cardinals. And we think we've got a good chance to get the guy who performed so well in the first half of the year before he got hurt. And the makeup and the work ethic and everything else is great. But obviously he's getting older in his career. But we're hopeful we're getting someone like an Andy Pettit that can have another 4 or 5 great years in him.
Alex, every time we call, you answer and you come on. We appreciate that. Atlanta appreciates that. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Glad to do it.
Thank you so much. That's Alex Anthopoulos, guys. Hope that he answered some of the questions I know Braves fans have, Mike. And again, a lot of this, as he said, won't be answered until we get on the field.
Right. And I think you look at a guy like Kyle Wright as one of those young arms. We'll talk more about what Alex had to say. Also, the Falcons. What are they looking at as far as the Senior Bowl? Thomas Dimitroff's talking today. We'll tell you about it.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.